Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, how about giving everybody a happy 4th of July welcome to Main Street? Please stand and pass the peace to your neighbors. You can cross the aisles. It's okay to cross the aisles and speak to folks. Now, if you will please resume your seats and let's continue our beginnings of our worship service by singing our hymn of preparation. I'd like to call to your attention this morning. One of them, and I'd like to start with the newsletter. If you noticed in your newsletter, today is the beginning of our missions farmers market. All the proceeds will go to our food bank. Now, I just got through checking. There's some tomatoes and there's some cucumbers still left. But may I suggest that from this point on, beginning next Sunday, you go by the farmers market first, so you'll get your first pick at the vegetables that are there, because right now there are only tomatoes and cucumbers left, but there were baskets like there might have been some other things too. So you need to keep your eyes on the vegetables that are available so you can get them. Also in the newsletter is a mention of something that's a little bit farther down the road. If you were at the Charge Conference this past week, you know that the church has voted to purchase a parsonage, contingent upon the funds being in hand and contingent upon its relationship, purchase price relationship to the appraisal value of the parsonage to be. You will notice in the newsletter that we're planning a rummage sale in order to furnish this parsonage. Now, if you're going to be doing your cleaning out this month, please start pulling things aside. Because as if you noticed in the newsletter, beginning the 17th of July, we can start bringing things to the game room over in the new building so that we can have, you can get them out of your house and we can start looking at what we have available and pushing for supplemental things in different areas. So the rummage sale is on go and you need to keep track of what's happening. I think Ann Drake, Lou Walters, and several other folks will be in charge of heading up different areas. So you may want to keep track of that. On the very beginning, the front page of your newsletter this week is something that is mentioned for you in the back of your bulletin. If you would look back there and check those announcements, one of them is the first through the eighth grade and the children's ability to enjoy the arts and learn through the arts. That's going to be the Worship Arts Camp. So if you'll notice that bulletin, please take note of that. And the fact that the church office will be closed in celebration of the holiday. And the newsletter will begin the summer printing schedule. It will only be printed every other week. So that's noticed in your bulletin. You'll need to get your information into the church office for the different printing schedule. I also want to call to your attention the note from the financial secretary that's in the bulletin. Please read that carefully, and I know travel in the summertime means people aren't here and they forget to get their offerings, their tithes, their pledges in. Unfortunately, we still have to turn the air conditioning on, and we still have to pay the utility bills. So if you don't mind, please check your checkbook and make certain you're up to date. We got a mailing out this last week, and you could get some sort of an idea of where you are in your giving. Remember that as we work through the stewardship program this year, that giving is a crucial element in our worship service and in our worship of God. Now, let us continue to worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Thank you, Mara. We are a blessed nation, aren't we? Well, all who are able to please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. Come with joy and gladness to praise and honor God. Come to the refreshing waters that God provides. God is gracious and merciful and full of compassion. All creation joins us in giving thanks. Give ear, all people, to the law of God. Give thanks for all the guidance God gives us. God upholds all who are falling. God raises us up when we are bowed down. Come, all who are weary and carrying a heavy burden. Come, for Christ has promised rest. The gentle spirit of Christ invites us. We have come to find rest for our souls.
Let us join together in praying the prayer of invocation that's printed in your bulletin. Lord God Almighty, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us make our affirmation of faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated.
The epistle reading for today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Listen now for God's word to us. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us join together in praying a prayer for the nation as printed in your bulletin. Let's join together. Almighty God, you have given us this great land as our heritage. We humbly pray that we may always remember your generosity and faithfully do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Defend our liberties and strengthen the resolve of the people who have come from throughout the world to make America their home. Lead us to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. Help us to appreciate the opportunities that are ours as we struggle to bring harmony to an unsettled world. May we balance our concern for justice with a willingness to display mercy, and may our concern for security be tempered with a willingness to take risk which will produce worthwhile change for the good of all people. O Lord, we pray for your guidance as we work together for the best interests of our communities, our nation, our world, and the ultimate goal of peace. When times are prosperous, let our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times, may our deepest trust be in you. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And let us have a moment of silent prayer as we prepare for the pastoral prayer and remembering those of our church family who have special needs and a special request has been brought to me other than those already listed to pray for Susan Anderson. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this day, we are reminded of those who throughout the generations that have served faithfully within our own country, but even before our country was even founded, there were those who were serving faithfully for the cause of Christ in other places. Realize that we are called upon to give glory to our God and to worship you. And realizing, dear God, that as we worship you and give you your rightful place in our country and in our world, that our country and our world will be a better place. We do ask for forgiveness for the wrongs that we have done. And for those who have been wronged, we pray, O God, for healing, for help, for guidance. Holy God, we come to you this day and pray that you will guide our church, our town, our community, our state and the nation. Holy God, that you will guide us aright. And for those who this day are suffering in their bodies, God, we pray for your healing hand to rest upon them, for your love to overshadow them, for your holy presence to infill them, and that they would know that there is a God who loves and cares and nurtures, and a people who loves and cares and nurtures. Again, we pray, as always, for those in leadership over our church and our nation, those serving our church and our nation, wherever you in your holy presence have laid it upon their hearts for them to go, and others who have been commanded by their leaders to go. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of the world. And pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Holy God, we return to you now a portion of that which we have been so graciously blessed. Hear now, O Lord, are our gifts. Bless giver and gift. Bless those who have not or who chose not to give this day. To you we give glory, honor, and praise. And pray that you will use this, these offerings, from our hands to give glory and healing and help to people throughout the world that they may know Christ as their Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let your children come forward.
There we go. Good morning. Last week, you guys voted to fund a sheep for Heifer International. And starting last week on, we are going to collect change that you bring. Cecilia, if you'll grab one, or Myra. We're going to collect change until you get $120 for a sheep. So if you guys will put your change and your money in this box, a sheep will go to somebody that needs it. And adults, if you guys want to contribute each week, you can just give it to a child that's coming forward. Can you fit it in there? And so last week, Miss Kathy took a vote, and you guys chose to buy a sheep. And you had a choice between a sheep and a cow. And I think a sheep is a good first start because a cow is a lot more expensive. So a sheep will go to somebody that really needs it. And so let's see if we can get that in there. So each week when y'all come forward, make sure you guys bring your coins and your money so that we can get that $120 fast. And then we can start on something else. Isn't that pretty awesome that we can do that each week? Yep. All right.
It's taking a little longer to feed the paper money down into the slot. The slot needs to be a little bit bigger, I think. Okay. Good morning. I know you're preoccupied a little bit. Do y'all know what tomorrow is?
4th of July.
And there'll... woohoo! Yeah. And... there are going to be lots of fireworks and all that kind of stuff, right? In fact, there were some maybe last night, and there'll be through the rest of the weekend probably. People will be shooting off fireworks. But do you really know what it's all about? Is it all about fireworks? No. What's it about?
It's about celebrating the birth of our country.
The birth of our country, our independence from England. And the fact that we have all these freedoms now because of that. I want you to look at this picture. It's a little small, but it's the only one I had at home. I took this myself. Do you recognize what that is? Statue of Liberty. And where is she? In New York on Ellis Island. And she is out in this island. And when people would come to our country from other countries and they wanted to escape their countries and come to a place where it was free, they would see her light. She has the torch. That was the first thing they would see. That's right. And so they would see that torch as they were coming through, and they would have the comfort of knowing they were seeing this beacon of light that was leading them to a freedom, to a country where they could go to church and worship their God anytime they wanted to. They weren't persecuted in any way. And on the base underneath the Statue of Liberty, it says, this isn't all of it, but this is part of it, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." So it's telling these people, whether you're poor or homeless or hungry or whatever, you can come here. You can come here and have freedom. We worship a God that gives us a different kind of freedom, and He is the light of the world. And Jesus said to us in Matthew, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So God is much bigger than the Statue of Liberty, much more important, and His light is much, much brighter. But because of Him, we have the freedoms that we have today in this country. So can we, as you see the fireworks tomorrow or tonight or whenever they happen, and they're breaking and they're all the beautiful colors, I want you to stop for just a second and say, "Thank you, God, for giving us freedom, that we're celebrating our freedom." Okay? Can we have a prayer? You repeat after me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this country and your love. Keep us safe and help us to always appreciate your grace and freedom. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 16th verse of the 11th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. But to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And then go into the 25th verse. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This is a Sunday before the fourth and the third Sunday in a long series of Sundays of Pentecost and Kingtide. I remember several years ago, as many of you did, I stood before an officer and I said, I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Many times as I was fulfilling my obligations in the military, I thought about, now what is cleaning a latrine got to do with protecting my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic? There were many times there would be tasks that we would be asked to fulfill, and it wasn't so much the task, but it was the willingness to learn to follow orders and to do what you were asked to do, so that if you were ever asked or given an order to charge, you would obey it. There was a lady who was applying for a passport, and they looked at her application and says, well, you have to make a pledge of loyalty. And she said, okay. And she held up her hand, and they said to her, will you protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and what I just said against enemies, foreign and domestic? And she looked at him after it's all over with, and she said, do I have to do this by myself? It has been said that the World War II generation was the greatest generation. Certainly they were a great generation. Just this last week, I was talking with someone who had lived during World War II, and her husband had rode a glider into Normandy, and we were talking about the gas stamps and the food rations and all that, and she said, you know, I had forgotten about those. For our young people that maybe are here today, there was a time when it didn't matter if gas was $4 a gallon. If you didn't have a stamp, you couldn't get the gas. If you didn't have a stamp at the grocery store, you couldn't get sugar. Clothes were made from bags of cloth that flour came in. And many a person wore these garments that their parents made from this cloth with pride. I will always remember one of my professors at Central Wesleyan was teaching about this time in history, and he made a statement, and I have never forgotten it. Probably a lot of things he said that I did forget, but I didn't forget this one. He said that in World War II that there was not enough garbage for the sanitation workers to pick up, and they literally thought they were going to be going out of business. Everything was being recycled. Everything was being used for the war effort. Everybody was working together. The country, for the biggest part, had a spirit of unity and of oneness. It was working together to defeat the enemy. But I submit to you that that was not the greatest generation. Even though there were those who came home from World War II and they had all types of leadership skills and they went to work in our country, and women went to work in the factories during World War II and served in the military as wax, nurses, pilots, whatever. But they still were not the greatest generation. Jesus bemoans the generation of his day, and he says, "To what shall I compare this generation? They were stubborn of heart." He refers to them here as acting like children. And he says, "Woe to that generation that trivializes me and makes me irrelevant." You see, to me, the greatest generation is that generation of people who surrender their hearts and lives and wills to follow Christ. The Bible refers to them and says they have shut the mouth of lions. They have conquered kingdoms. They have quenched the furies of flames. They have escaped the edge of the sword. They were stoned, sawn in half, mistreated. And yet they were called by their master to give their lives, to strive, to grieve, to die. The lesson comes to us today from Matthew, and it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Myra just referred to in our children's sermon about the statement at the foot of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. And I'll add some of the rest of what she didn't read. It said, "The wretched, the refused of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." As we think about that statement at the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, we take a deep sigh maybe and ask ourselves a question. Are we quite as willing now to receive those immigrants as we have been in the past? Are we quite as willing maybe as we used to be? And we still hear Jesus saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I've always thought it a privilege that one of the things that I do understand is I know what it means to work and to work hard. I know what 12 hours in the sunshine is like in the heat. I know what working at night means. I know what it means to work all night and sleep all day and wake up in time to go back to work feeling like you've been run over by a truck. I know what it means to be tired. And I've always considered that to be a blessing as I minister, because I can identify with people, hard-working people. I appreciate hard-working people. There's a lady at the Half Dome in Yosemite National Park. The Half Dome rises 4,737 feet. It's a popular destination place for hikers. Lady dialed 911. The ranger answered and said, "Yes, may I help you?" The woman says, "I'm tired." The ranger said, "Are you sick?" She said, "No, but I'm really tired." "Are you fearful for your life?" "No, but I am tired." "So, well, what do you want?" She said, "Well, I was really hoping that some of my friends would come and get me." Somebody asked the ranger what happened. He said, "Well, we really got lucky." He said, "About that time, her cell phone battery died and we couldn't hear any more from her." Sometimes when we get tired, it does call for us to find that resolve down inside of us that calls for us to, and as in this case, come back off the dome where we had walked. Gordon MacDonald, teaching his son to ski, he said, "Son, watch out for those runs at the end of the day when fatigue produces slower reflexes and poor decision making comes with that fatigue. And the shadows are longer, and icy and bare spots are hidden. And the combination of depleted body and unseen obstacles create conditions in which accidents are far more likely to happen." Fatigue. We talked last week about those of you who would dare to yawn during the morning worship service. Some of you who would dare to drive when you're sleepy. And on the commercials that I have seen on TV, and I'm sure some of you have seen them as well, there are automobiles now that can make you aware that you are too sleepy to drive. Isn't that something? Maybe it needs to let us know as well when we're grouchy or short-tempered with our loved ones. The Sleep Foundation of America says that 60% of Americans are getting less sleep than what they really need. Well, maybe that's another time. But Jesus calls for his disciples to come to him. To come to him and rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There are reasons that people feel tired, and I've already alluded to some. And one man was told by his doctor that if he would exercise, that it would add years to his life. And the young man began to exercise, and he says, "You know, the doctor was accurate. I already feel 10 years older." But we do understand that there is a time when we do feel tired. We do remember those old spirituals that said, "Gonna lay my burden down. Down by the riverside." We do acknowledge there is coming a day for us when we won't be dealing with all the vindictiveness that's within our country, and there's going to come a time when the struggles of this life will be ended. As I was reading one of my relatives' statement on the day before he passed away, and he talked about that day when he would lay it all down, and he said, "Lord, how I want to go home." But for those of us that journey on, E. Stanley Jones is a good example when he is recognized as one of the greatest missionaries of the 20th century, a man of amazing energy, and he wrote several best-selling books. But one day his career was almost over because of chronic worry and fatigue. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out, working and worrying. "I was suffering so severely from brain fatigue and nervous exhaustion," he said, "that I collapsed not once, but several times." Aboard a ship returning to America, Jones collapsed again, and the doctor put him to bed. After a year's rest, he attempted to return to India, but became a bundle of nerves on the return trip and arrived in Bombay, a broken man. His colleagues warned him that any attempt to continue in ministry in such a state of anxiety could be fatal. And while praying one night, he said, groping in emotional darkness, Jones seemed to hear a voice asking him, "Are you ready? Are you ready for this work to which I have called you?" "No, Lord," replied Jones. "I am done for. I have reached the end of my resources." He said the voice seemed to speak to him, "If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it." Jones answered, "Lord, I close the bargain right here, right now." He said a great sense of peace closed in over him. He felt a rush of abundant life that seemed to sweep him off of his feet. His energy returned. His enthusiasm bubbled over. He plunged back into his work with vitality that he had never known before. And he went on to spend a lifetime of ministry in India, writing numerous books and ministering to multitudes around the world. He later wrote, "This one thing I know. My life was completely transformed and uplifted that night. When at the depth of my weakness and depression, a voice said to me, 'If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it,' the voice said, 'I will take care of it.'" In closing, maybe you and I need to close a bargain with God. Do you have that sense of peace that Stanley Jones found in his encounter with God? Many of us are tired because of mental and emotional conflicts that are draining us of our energy. We need to turn our worries, our concerns, our doubts, and our fears over to God. For His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen. Number 529. The benediction is a responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. Look graciously, O Lord, upon this land.